Hallelujah. I'm going to try to hurry here. Praise God. Yeah, I was a little alarmed, I guess. I was sitting there, and Brother Turner, he quoted about three scriptures I had written down. And then our sister got up, and she quoted a couple. And then our brother got up, and he quoted another. And I said, Lord, what am I going to do? I quoted every single scripture I was going to preach on today. But I'm just going to go ahead and do it anyway. It's all I know what to do. Hallelujah. If you want to read with us real quick this morning, let's turn to Jeremiah, or as the old timers would say, Jerimar, chapter 14. And let's start at verse 17. Therefore, thou shalt say this word unto them, let mine eyes run down with tears, night and day. Let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people is broken with a great breach, and there is, or with a very grievous blow. If I go forth into the field, then behold the slain with the sword. If I enter into the city, then I behold them that are sick with famine. Yea, both the prophet and the priest go about into the land that they know not. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion? Why hast thou smitten us? Is there no healing for us? We look for peace, and there is no good. And for the time of healing, and behold, trouble. You can be seated. And I know that there's times, don't get alarmed by my text here, I'm preaching on trouble in the way. But even in this scripture here, we see where he said, we look for peace, we couldn't find any. We just found trouble. We look for healing, there wasn't any healing. And there are times that we do have problems. I've had problems. I think we do, in all sorts of different avenues. But there are some scriptures here that if I could, I'll try to get to a few of them and share just a few of them with you here. One verse is in Psalms chapter 30, and I know you all know this verse, chapter 30, verse 5. It said, for his anger endureth but a moment, and in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. We felt that way, haven't we? There have been times we've been doing so well. We think, man, I've got it made. I'm never going to have another problem. Nothing's ever going to knock me off my feet. Nothing's ever going to knock me aside. Man, I went to youth camp a few weeks ago and about got killed. I did. I told them, I said, I felt like I've been in a fist fight with Muhammad Ali. They got to shouting around there, and there's a big old boy. Now, I'm a big old boy, but he was a young big old boy, if you know what I mean. And he come around there, and he just went, woo, glory, pow. He got me right here in the middle of the chest. I thought, whoop, that hurt. And then he didn't mean to. He didn't see me. He swung around. He said, glory, and he got me right there, and that hurt. And then he kicked his legs real high, and I ain't saying no more. That really hurt. And about 4 or 5, I got done. I said, I feel like I've been in a battle here tonight. So I went back the next service, and that same old boy got to shouting, where did you go, brother? Stand up there, Caleb. Amen. Now, that's a strong young man, whether you know it or not. So he got shouting. I said, Caleb, you stand by me tonight. He stood by me. He got shouting. I just grabbed Caleb. I stuck him right there. And he ran into Caleb. And Caleb said, he said, I got you covered, Brother Miller. I said, I think he's going to find a way to me tonight. So I've had some troubles. I've been pounded on, even in church. Somebody holler amen. Praise God. But, amen, he said, Oh, God, I shouldn't have said that. That's the truth anyway. Amen. He said, it's like he hid his face from me, verse number 7, when I was in trouble. Have you ever felt like when you was in trouble, like God had just hidden his face? Where are you at, Lord? Amen. I'm just going to give you a few scriptures and I'll try to preach here. In the book of Psalms, chapter 126, here's a scripture that you use, sister. You know, the Bible said that, and I had this written down yesterday, right here it is, before you said that today. But the Bible does say, though that they that sow in tears will reap in joy. Amen. They'll doubtless come again. Praise God. So we will have tears. We will have trials. And then who quoted it today? There it is from yesterday, just so you know. Man, all over the message that I had today. This all God gave me, so you're going to get a little repeat of some of that stuff. But verse 12 said, he said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings. Amen. What a great verse these verses are. And the Bible also said in verse 19 of Job chapter 5. Now, he didn't say we wouldn't have trouble. Matter of fact, he named 7 times. And he said this in that verse. He said, he will deliver you in 6 troubles and in 7, or in other words, troubles as well. He'll not leave us even in that 7th trial or that 7th trouble. So no matter how much they come, God is not going to forsake us. He's not going to leave us. It might try us and it might keep us awake at night, but God's going to come to our rescue. Amen. You know what? I don't know any better way to say it than the scriptures here. Psalms 88 and 3. He said, my soul is full of trouble. Now, I don't know how much more trouble you can say than that. He said, my soul feels full of trouble. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8 says, we're troubled on every side. Now, this is Paul. I'm trying to give you good verses from good men. Paul said, we're troubled on every side. Has anybody ever felt like every direction there was trouble? No matter which way you look, there was trouble. Now, I don't think there's a pastor in this building, if he told the truth, couldn't say that there's been times he felt everywhere he looked there was trouble. I mean, I believe it was Ralph Cox. I remember one of those elder men that said this. He said he wasn't really alarmed when he had trouble. He said it didn't really worry him as bad. He said when he was alarmed was when he didn't see any trouble, because he didn't know where it was going to come from, where it was going to pop up at. He didn't know where it's coming from. Well, we have problems. Say, Brother Miller, you preach like a man in trouble. Not right now, and I hope to God I'm not getting ready to face anything. But boy, have we ever more experienced trouble. Yes, we have. Oh, yes, we have many, many times. But the Bible said, but yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. Do we have troubles? Yes. Do we thank the Lord to fix them? Yes. When? I don't know, but in a little while. And after a while, I might spend a sleepless night or two. I might have to pray a day or two. I might have to fast a day or two. But in a little while, He will fix the trouble. Help me, Jesus. I'm doing what you told me to do. 48 years of preaching this month for me. Amen. And I've had some troubles in my 48 years. What about your ministry? Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to take time. You've heard too much of my testimony. Too many of you have. But my wife sits right there. I'll say it quickly. 1973, 3 weeks to live. Terminal cancer. There she is. I mean, you count the years. That's 45 and a half years ago. She's still here. That was troubled times. That was troubled times. I'm not even going to go into the story. My little daughter, when she was less than a year old, was told she had four major diseases. She had Rocky Mountain spotted fever, typhoid fever, low-grade tuberculosis, and leukemia. But now, in October, she'll be 46, and she's doing well. Praise God. Have I had trouble? Yes, I have. God spoke to me at when I was in that revival over there in Norton, Virginia, and she was a year old, and said, go take her out of the hospital, and I'll heal her before you get her home. She had 106-degree temperature every day. It would go up and back down, up and back down. They dipped her in bathtubs full of ice cubes, and they'd leave her there till the fever would break. And when she'd start turning blue and the temperature, they'd get her back out. I told my wife, I said, God told me to take her out. I stuck my hands under the ice, picked up my baby, signed her out while the doctor cursed me and told me I just signed her death warrant. Well, they just took a church about 3 weeks ago, doing great. God's blessing them every way they turn. I've had some troubles. The only difference between me and you, I'm willing to stand up in front of a crowd and tell it. I have had some trouble. You ain't had any financial troubles? How long you got? Sure I have. I remember coming home from Oklahoma and having to call my dad, very embarrassed, and saying, I'm in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. I'm away home, and my car just blew up. That was not a good experience. I've had a lot of problems like that. Yes, sickness. I've had times I've suffered. I've had problems in the church. Yeah, we don't shout every Sunday. Brother Russell McDonald was preaching Brother Randy Brown's homecoming and come over to be with us on Sunday night. And we had a move of God. The Holy Ghost fell in such a great way. And he said, why in the world did you give it to me? The Lord was moving so good, you shouldn't have let me preach tonight. But he got up and he really preached, boy. He preached good. And after church, he said, man, he said, God's a-hoping you. You know how he talks. God's a-hoping you, brother. Amen. And he was talking to me about how good things was. I wanted to say, oh, yeah, it was tonight. It was last Sunday. Wish you'd been here about 6 weeks ago. It's a dead and it's a dry, and I was dead right with them that couldn't do nothing. Come on, somebody holler amen. Yeah, I've had troubles. I've had struggles. I've had folks come to the church, and I think we're going to have revival. And then I've had exodus from the church. You don't know what that means, I don't guess. But I've had that. Trouble in all sorts of ways. Did you know the Bible talks about that famine? Let me see if I can get over here to Habakkuk is what I call it. You call it Habakkuk, whatever you want to call it. But anyhow, if I can find this here, let me see if I can find it. In chapter number 3, verse number 16. The Bible talks here, and I know it's talking about the judgments of the Lord against Judah, but bear with me here just a little bit. He said in verse 16, I heard my belly tremble, and my lips begin to quiver at his voice. Rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble. You know what he said, I couldn't even fathom or think about finding any rest. Because there's so much. Have you ever been in so much trouble you think you'd never find peace again? You'd never find rest again? You ever been in such a great trial you'd never think you'd feel the Holy Ghost again? You ever went and think, I'll never speak in tongues again or shout again? The devil will tell you that. You can miss one weekend, the Lord tell you. Or the devil will tell you, right, you'll never shout again. I had an old boy one time a few years ago. He came to our church. He's the shoutingest outfit I've ever seen in my life. He could be dead as 4 o'clock and everybody yawning. And he was up squalling, screaming, and shouting every service. And most of the time, I believe it was the Lord. I mean, most. But honestly, he was just a shouter. That's all there was to it. And one night, one weekend, he went Sunday morning, Sunday night, and he just sat there. I thought, oh, my God, what's happened to him? Now, I wouldn't think that about 90% of my other members, but I did him. Something's wrong. You know, and after church, he came up to me. He said, man, you got to pray for me. He said, I feel like the devil's got me. I said, have you done anything? No. I said, have you been discouraged? No. I said, have you sinned? No. I said, then why are you thinking about out? He said, I tried my best. He said, I couldn't feel like jumping. I didn't feel like throwing up my hands. I didn't feel like hollering glory. He said, I just couldn't. He said, I didn't want to put on. So he said, I just sat there. He said, do you think something's wrong with me? I said, no. He said, do you think I'm in trouble? I said, I don't guess. And boy, he was discouraged. But by the next Sunday morning, he's still a little troubled Sunday morning. By the time Sunday night, about the third song, man, he is about ready to explode again. He was high again. Now, it seemed like a long trial for him to go three or four services without God moving. Some of you went three or four months without God moving. But if you hold on, God can come to your rescue. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. I just like those verses there. Amen. We talked about it. He said, I tremble to even think that I could find rest in that day of trouble. He goes on in verse 17 to say that even though the fig tree will not blossom, and neither shall there be any fruit on the vines, and the labor of the olive shall fail. And he said, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stall. You know what this man, he said, there's no olive oil, no fruit, no figs, nothing out in the field, no food, nothing, nowhere, no meat. And there wasn't even any hope of getting any meat. There wasn't even no herd in the stall. Hey, brother, who was talking about having had a hamburger with no, who was I said today in a preaching, had the bread, but no, yeah, Brother Turner, but no meat there. He heard about that. Brother, it's worse than that, brother. There wasn't no meat. They said there wasn't even anything in the stall. There wasn't even any hope to get any meat. He is talking about all of that. He said, but yet I'll rejoice. Even though I don't see anything like that, I'm still going to rejoice. Here's my word to you. Even if you feel like you're in trouble, even if you feel like you're discouraged, even if you feel like you're down and out, even if you feel weary or whatever it is today, sick, the Bible said, I quoted it to you there, where he said that even when I sought for healing, no healing came. I've been there. I'm there right now. I've got a brother, my natural brother. He's 78 years old. Everett's his name. And my heart's so broke. It really is. This is tough for me to keep my mind on the Lord here right now, actually. My brother, I've been there every day that I'm home and stayed with him. I'll be there 2 or 3 hours, and I'll get ready to leave, and he'll say, Dave, where are you going? I said, well, I'll be back after a while. He said, well, no sense leaving. Stay here and talk with me. How do I leave him? He's 78 years old. I've never seen him sick in my life. I don't remember ever having a bad cold. I don't remember him being any kind of sick. He was the toughest man that I ever knew. He just was. And if he got sick, you'd say, are you feeling bad? He'd say, hey, no sense of complaining. I can't do nothing about it anyway. I'll be fine. Everything will be great. He said, I don't like people going around complaining and talking about all their worries and troubles all the time. He probably wouldn't like my text today. But he got the news a while back that his cancer was limiting his life to 2 months, to a year, and they said it'd be closer to 2 months. And the way it's looking, it looks really, really bad. He started out in his kidney. Then he's got a huge tumor on his side, big tumor there. Then they found out last week or so it's in his lungs. Then they found out it was in his liver. Then they found out it was in his brain, and it's everywhere. I went to see him just last week. You know what he told me? You talk about trouble and hurt. This hurt me so bad. When I walked in, he said, Dave, don't leave till they all gone. And I did. He said, promise me you'll preach my funeral. I said, Everett, I can't preach your funeral. He said, yes, you can. And I want you to promise. And I said, okay, I'll do it. I am dreading that day. I preached my oldest brother's funeral. I didn't want to. I preached part of it. Bobby Rocap did the most because I got up there and couldn't do anything. I preached my two sisters' funerals. And boy, this is going to be hard. Me and Everett was closer than all of my other six brothers and sisters. That'll leave me one brother, 80 years old, one sister, 71. And, of course, I'm the baby of the family. It just, I feel like, I know I'm going too slow here. And I'm sorry, Brother Richardson. Bear with me here, but it's broke my heart. You know, my brother, he's a good man. He's a good man. And every time I look at him, he looks worse. Every time I go over, I told my wife the other day, I said, "Now, I can't keep going over." She said, "You have to go." I say, "He looks just like my dad laying there. He looks more like him every day." I said, "I feel like I'm looking at dad. I just can't hardly do it." And bear with me, I'm sorry, I didn't plan on doing this here today. But oh my. Yeah. I come down here and one of the first things I heard was the death you had yesterday. And I thought, oh my, it's not just me. Sorry. Amen. But I heard about it. They told me about that. But anyway, that worries me. That's my natural brother. But you know what he told me? He said, "David," he said, "quit praying for God to heal me and pray God will take me home." He said, "I want to go. I'm saved." Hey, I remember, was you there tonight? I know you was there, Rodney. I'm sure Brother Turner was there. I don't know Brother Philip Hughes there that night, but my brother was a backslider, and it's probably been 25, 30 years ago he got saved. And I was preaching one night of Allentown for Brother Neil. And that night, he had Brother Dolehouse. I think it's the only time he ever preached a service there. And Brother Dolehouse preached that night, and he preached on the prodigal son. And I was thinking, oh my, if ever to just pray. And when he got done preaching, Brother Lloyd Shoecraft, and Brother Lloyd called me not long ago and told me, "I'm praying for you, brother. How's he doing?" Every time I'd see Brother House, he'd say, "How's he doing?" I'd always say, "He's doing great. Doing great." But I remember Brother House went back and asked him, said, "Why don't you come pray?" He said, "No." Brother Shoecraft, and he don't usually do that. He walked back and asked him, said, "Everett, I feel like you ought to pray." He got up, went down the aisle, gave his heart to God, and God saved. Been serving the Lord all these years. And he's a good man. He's a saved man. And I thank God so much for my brother, but it still hurts. But the Bible said, "Yet will I rejoice." Let me go on verse 18. "In the Lord, I will rejoice in the joy of the God of my salvation." Hey, it's still joy. Amen, because the Lord saved him. It's still one more verse. He said, "And the Lord, my God, is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet." So he will make us to walk upon the high places and to the chief singer of my stringed instruments. And you know what? Even though my brother, he can't even hardly walk. He gets up, he falls. He's got three big, strong boys, and they'll have a hold of him, and he'll still fall, and they have to pick him up. But there'll be a day, I believe God will make his feet like hinds' feet. He not only walk, but he can jump. Whew. Oh, God. I hate preaching like this. Hallelujah. This is on my heart, not just because my brother. I heard about this story, that wreck. And they was telling about this today. And those girls were showing me those pictures. And somebody had sent them to my wife before. And I'd seen them before I got here. And I said, oh, how in the world did they get out alive? If you haven't seen those pictures, you wonder how they got out alive. Well, it's the mercies of God. And I know it's on CD, and I don't think they'll care. But Brother Steve Allen, who knows Brother Steve Allen? He's a great young man. He was my youth pastor for 4.5 years. He's now pastoring a church and doing really good. Yesterday, August 8, 2018, I got a phone call. And it was from Sarah Allen. And she never calls me. Steve's wife never calls. And I couldn't get to it in time. And then my wife said, I said, who's that? And she said, Sarah. I was going to answer it. And she said, never mind. She's calling me. And I heard my wife say, oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. We'll pray. Then I get a call from Brother Stephen. Did you hear about it, brother? And the call was so tragic. His brother Josh, who's a good young man, he plays music and sings there. Brother Pasquale's there at the highway. I know Brent would know him. And just yesterday, he's driving some kind of heavy equipment truck for, I think, county or city. And he couldn't avoid it. It was not his fault. He was just driving this truck. And they said about 15 feet out of nowhere darted a car. And he tried to avoid it, couldn't avoid it, and he hit the car. A young girl, 16 years old, immediately killed. And a grandma, did she die? They said they didn't think she was going to make it. They air carried her. And you know, Brother Steve said, please pray for my brother. He said, I can't hardly take it, Brother Miller. He said, I can't hardly take it. He said, he's in so much trouble. Not with the law, not with anybody. He said, he's in trouble. I said, well, it wasn't his fault, was it? He said, oh, no, they ruled it wasn't his fault. He said, but he's still in trouble. I said, well, he's not in trouble. He said, yeah, he's in trouble because he keeps saying over and over and over, that girl will never be home. That girl will never come home. And he said he cried. He said, Brother Miller, they had to give him sedatives. And he said, still didn't help any. He said he was screaming, crying. Wife couldn't do anything hardly with him. Now, I don't say that to bring any kind of hurt. I wouldn't hurt Josh Allen or Brother Steve for anything in this world. I love them dearly. I love them dearly. But you talk about trouble. Sometimes we look at our little troubles like we got something big. You ought to get on your hands and knees and thank God. Amen. For, you know, really, God's been good to us. He's been good to us. Hallelujah. Oh, my. That's trouble. How would you feel if that was you? How would you feel if you was on the other end of that? Amen. He called. I called him back. And I said, Brother Steve, are you okay? He said, Brother Miller, I got to tell you the truth. No, I'm not. He said, I'm not okay. I said, how's Josh? He'll say, oh, I hope he gets okay. I don't know when he's ever going to be okay. He said, we can't do nothing with him. We can't control him because he's devastated. He's devastated. So whether it's that kind of tragedy or whatever kind it is, and I know you go to camp meeting to get encouraged, and I want to encourage you. And I'm not trying to bring sorrow to this meeting. But I felt so strongly before I heard about this wreck. God gave me this message about 5 or 6 days ago and told me to preach it here. And then I just get this pile on me and I'm thinking, oh my God. Confirmation, yes, but I don't want to hear about these troubles. There's times I've told my wife, I said, I just like to go away for 3 or 4 days. And just not listen to nothing or nobody. I was talking to one good preacher, great, if I called his name, everybody in here would know. And he told me about a year ago, he said, you know what you need to do, Brother Miller, like me? He said, I take 1 week a year. And he said, I turn off my cell phone. And he said, I go away, and I don't answer for nobody. He said, do you do that? I said, no, I can't. He said, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. I said, I'll turn it, put it on, what do they call that? Put it on mute. I said, but I don't turn it off. He said, well, that's not helping nothing. You're going to see who it is. You're going to worry. I said, I know. But I want to know if one of my people's hurt. I want to know if we're in trouble. Oh, God, I'm preaching too long. Please forgive me. Please forgive me here. I got a phone call from yesterday from Jamie Neese. How many knows Jamie Neese? He's a great man. Judah, his wife's my favorite singer. Everybody in the world knows. You want to know who I like to hear sing better than anybody in the whole wide world? It's Judah Neese, Billy Atkins' daughter. If there's a better singer than her in the world, I haven't heard them. To me, So my church knows that. And I've got great singers in my church. Don't get mad, Kathy. But she's my favorite. I got a phone call yesterday, and he had a surgery, not a serious surgery, but he had a surgery. And he started losing blood. And they called and said, pray. He lost like 2 pints of blood. So he's going to be all right. It's not a serious surgery. So then they called back and said, hey, give him another pint. And they called back and said, give him another pint. Now, I'm not exactly sure, but I think it was 5 or 6 pints of blood that he had to get. Now, if you know Jamie Neese, and Jamie, when you do hear this, don't be mad at me, but it's the truth. You know it. 2 things about you is true, Jamie. You need an interpreter when you preach because you can't understand you. You talk about a Kentucky hillbilly slang. Nobody's worse than my friend Jamie. I love him. And the other thing, he's nervous as a cat. Jason Painter, am I right? He is nervous. So when he called me, he said, brother, he said, you got to pray right now. And his exact words was, I'm in trouble. I said, what's wrong? He said, I don't know. He said, I just feel like I'm in trouble. And then he called back. He said, I'm out of the hospital. I think I'm out of the woods, but I'm still nervous. And I said, well, I'll get seen in a few weeks. He said, if I'm doing okay by tomorrow, he said, I don't know, but if I'm okay by tomorrow, which will be today, he said, I'm going to come down Friday and get the end of that camp meeting in Richlands. Woo, I hope he comes and God heals him completely and he dances all over this church. I hope he does. I'm just trying to tell you, you think, well, they don't ever have no trouble. They don't ever have any problems. You, if you only knew, you might look back and say, there sits Mike Roberts or Randy Webb or Philip Horton. They don't have trouble. Oh, my. They may not share it with you or me, but let me tell you right now, if they told me that as much confidence as I've got in all 3 of them, I just wouldn't believe them. Because I know they're humans, and they have trouble. So we have it. We have trouble. So many scriptures here. I'm going to give you just a couple more, and I'm going to shut up. Here in the book of Psalm 16, verse 11. You know, I kind of like just hearing 16:11. You like that? Anybody like just hearing 16:11? I won't say anything about that, but anyhow, that verse says this. It said, thou shalt show me the path of life, and that in thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there is pleasures forevermore. What God says is, don't worry about it as you're walking down through, or David actually, when you're going through the path of your life, and when you're walking through that path of your life, you are going to have trouble. Did Job say something about a man being born of woman? How did he say that? Few days and what? Full? You think Job knew anything about trouble? He knew anything about trouble. I would say he knew a little bit about trouble. He lost everything he owned, lost all 10 of his children in one day, lost everything except his wife, and I'm not going to say what I've heard a few guys say about that, but he lost about everything. Amen. He said, a man born of woman is a few days and he's full of trouble. So, Job, I'm going to take your word for it. There is some trouble. But I'm going to tell you, brother, who can solve every problem. And that's Jesus. He'll fix it. Amen. And I tell you today, the reason I want to sing that old song, there's trouble in my way. It's made me cry sometimes. There have been a lot of troubles in my way. And I've had to cry sometimes. Even in a late awake at night. And I couldn't sleep at night. I knew it'd be all right. Because I knew Jesus was going to fix it in just a little while. He's going to fix it. You believe he's going to fix it today? Even in our poverty, he said this. As sorrow, yet we always rejoice. As poor, yet he makes many rich. And I like this part. Having nothing, yet possessing. I like that verse. Having nothing, yet possessing. You know how much? All things. I told my church here the other day, I quoted that scripture to them, and I told them this. I said, hey, you look at me and think, I've never, ever not had anything to eat. But there have been a few days like that. Maybe that's why I'm so big. I got and ate too much. But anyway, we have. I remember one time in our house, the only thing we had, I said we had absolutely nothing. My wife corrected me. And she said, David, we had some potted meat. I said, like I said, we had nothing. Potted meat is cat food. And I don't like cats. That's what it is. You know what? Seemed like every time I got a pounding years ago. How many knows what a pounding is? Yeah, up home, hardly nobody knows. They think it means fighting, you know. But anyway, that's when they bring food to evangelists and stuff. And I say, every time I get a pounding, half of it's potted meat and hominy. And I hate both of them. Hate them both. If I want corn, I want corn, not hominy. My God, help us, Jesus. Somebody holler amen to that. But I remember early in our ministry, things was really, really kind of tough. And we got down to one or two little cans of potted meat. And I said, Dinah, not a bite in the house. She come running in the cupboard. Oh, yeah, we got this potted meat. I said, honey, I want you to enjoy every bite of that. Because she likes it. And I was glad she did. Thank God she did. Amen. But we got to praying. And this is a gospel truth. We just got to praying. Somebody that lived a few miles away, I don't know, 20 maybe miles away, they got up and they had a Ford, a blue F-150 pickup truck loaded down with groceries. And they pulled right up to where I lived. And we was living in a little house trailer then. They come right up to the trailer. And they said, we don't want to embarrass you or hurt your feelings. Said, because I know this might embarrass you. They said, but we was praying this morning. And God told us to go just buy every good thing we could find in the grocery store and bring it to you. And they said, I know you probably don't need it. You probably don't even need it. You may not even want it. Said, but we just want to give it to you. Said, me and my wife prayed. And I said, well, brother, that'd be fine. Yeah, that's all right. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't want to act too. I didn't want to jump up and down, you know. I jumped up and down when they left. But we piled up that table full of groceries, them cabinets on them old trailers, and had every cabinet just about full. Brother Mike, there's food everywhere. Woo! Man, I felt like singing, come and dine, come and dine. That's how I felt. I mean, it was everywhere. I'm telling you what, God's never failed me. He's never let me down. I've been sick, but he's healed me. I've been broke, but he's blessed me. I've been discouraged, but he's encouraged me. I have cried all night long, but the Lord's come to me early in the morning. I'm telling you today, you may have troubles right now trying to block your way, but all they are is, remember this, they're just in the way. That's all they are. There's troubles in the way, but God can reach down and move them out of the way. And as I quoted you, or read rather, from Psalm 16:11, amen, he can make a clear path for your life. He can move every problem, every trouble, and make it as wide open as that middle aisle is right now, and give you a clear path throughout your life. Thank God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me just a moment here before we get this next preacher up? You just stand with me just a moment here. Amen. If you've got any kind of trouble or have had, I want you right now to just raise your hands with me and let's pray together. I'm going to pray with you. And let's pray God move those things. Would you, Father, we thank you this morning for being in your house. Lord, every trouble, every problem, every sickness, every heartache, you can take care of it. You can fix it. You can move it. God, would you solve it today? We thank you. We believe it in your name, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.